work? Cool. I just got the that means it works. All right, let's go to Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 11. Chapter 11. We'll kind of pick up where we left off this morning, to be honest with you. Acts chapter 11. We'll pick up with verse 17. Peter says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then faith, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world." That's a famine. "Which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You once again this evening. Lord, we do ask blessings on all of the prayer requests. Have Your will with each one of those. Lord, we ask that You would open our hearts and minds to Your Word. Lord, I ask that You would bring back to my mind the things I've studied, what You would have me to speak on, what You would have me to say. Lord, we thank You for all that You do for us. Lord, we do thank You once again for this country that we live in. Lord, it is a great country. It was founded upon Your Word, and Lord, we just ask that You would continue to bless her. Lord, we thank You for that. I ask, Lord, You would give us the strength, the courage to deal with whatever comes about in time to come. We don't know exactly what all may happen before the rapture. But, Lord, we know that You're with us through everything, because the Bible tells us You'll never forsake us nor leave us. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Peter had went back, as we were talking about this morning, and they were contending with him, giving him some grief about what he was doing. And he told them, he said, "What was I that I could withstand God?" He explained it to them. He said, "Hey, what am I that I'm going to stand in the way of God, that I'm going to hinder the work of God by not doing what the Lord wants us to do and standing in the way of Him. Now, it says in verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace. And then it says, and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, in other words, they realize, they're like, hey, wait a minute. We don't need to stand in God's way of what God's doing. I know how we were raised. I know what the law says and all of these things is what these guys are thinking. I know what the Levitical law states. But you know what? Jesus has opened a whole new door. Things have changed. All of that, according to Colossians 2:14, was nailed to the cross with Jesus. All of those ordinances, all of that mess that was going on, that was no longer. And they accepted that. Now, I want you to look at it. Listen, when everybody gets on the same page, when everybody's accepting what God's doing, when we're treating each other the way we should, when we're serving the Lord the way we should, then this is what takes place. He said, verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto Jesus, the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. In other words, they were not arguing with Peter anymore. They were saying, hey, the Lord sent Peter down there. He explained that to them. He said, this is what took place. The Lord has opened this door, and here we are, we're with the Gentiles now. This was, in a sense, this was still part of the mystery that was hidden to those guys. They could not see that through Jesus Christ, who started the church, they couldn't see that the Jews and the Gentiles were going to be brought together as one. And really and truly, that's what we are. We've been brought together as one. We've got Hispanics. We've got people of black descent. We've got people of European descent. We've got people that are Indians. They all come to this church. What is it in today's, to be politically correct, we are a multicultural church. You know, I just like to look at it and say, hey, we're kind of Heinz 57. We're all here. You know, listen, I don't look at them as, well, this one's African-American and this one's Mexican-American. Listen, we're Americans. We've born here in America. We live here in America. If a person has moved here and has their citizenship in this country, they're an American. My sister-in-law's been here, oh man, what, 20-something years. She went and got her citizenship years ago. She's an American. Now, she truly is a Filipino-American because she was born in the Philippines. Listen, I am not a European-American. I was born in America. I've had people tell me, well, I'm African-American or I'm European. Hey, where were you born at? Chicago. You're an American. Mississippi, you're an American. We're all in this. But we've got different nationality, different racial mix. That's what they had going on here. And that's what the Lord Jesus opened the door. He said, listen, you're all the same. In other words, you're either lost and dying and going to hell, or you're saved and you're still a sinner. Amen. We're saved sinners. To my knowledge, nobody's walking perfect as Jesus did. Let me know if you do. I need to know the key to how to do that. I'd like to. We can sin less, but we can't be sinless. But we can try. We can strive for that. That's what we're to do. We're to strive for that. But when they all come to the realization and they got that in their heart that, listen, Peter is listening to God. Peter is not going to stand against God. We're not either. We're going to accept what's going on. And hey, God's not dumb, by the way. You know, if he had picked Saul of Tarsus to do what Peter did, it wouldn't have worked. It would have been a problem. And God used a man that had a lot of influence. He was in the very first church that ever come about. For him to open the door, they're like, whoa, wait a second. This must be some serious stuff. You know, I would say that Peter was a very dedicated Jew. I would say he was very dedicated to all the teachings, even though he was saved. They were, at that day, they were still mixing in with the synagogue. They were still going down to the hour of prayer at the synagogue. They didn't have to. That wasn't their church. But they were still doing that because they were still mixing. For Peter to step aside and say, okay, all of these things meant a lot. See, God, when God does something, He's dead serious about doing it. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you. If Peter had have decided, you know what, God, I'm a Jew. I'm not going to do this. Don't think God's work is going to stop because we decide, well, we're just not going to do that. Listen, God can remove the problem and He'll put somebody else in the place. That's exactly, I mean, all jokes aside, if Peter had have said, you know, who am I? I'm Peter, man. I'm the little pebble that Jesus said, I'm going to build the church on me, Peter. And you're going to be kind of the head dog. Peter could have boasted, hey, look at me. No, God, I ain't going to do that. Now you, hey, God would have found somebody else with just as much influence, and He'd have removed Peter from the scene. Now, I ain't going to say how He'd remove Peter. You can let your minds wander. There's sailing accidents and big fish eat people. I mean, you know, it happened to one old boy back there. His name was Jonah. He had a change of heart. Of course, he went at it the wrong way. But anyway, so you don't want to withstand God. You don't want to stand there and fight God. You want to say, okay, God, this is what, I agree with you. So Peter did that, and these guys said, you know what? If Peter's doing it, must be the right thing to do. And that's what they did. And right after they did that, oh, what happened? Souls began to be saved. They started assembling themselves together. We'll come down to that in a minute. Listen, everything changes. When everybody's on the same page, things change. At the house, you know, at home. When I had my wife there with me, the three kids, when she wasn't in a good mood, everybody knew it. When I wasn't in a good mood, everybody knew it. It was broken up. It was a problem. My daughters, when they would get up and they didn't feel like it, because I guess because they're females. My wife's looking at me like, Listen, it caused problems in the house. When my son had problems, it caused problems in the house. See, it's the same thing with the church. A church is just an extended family from the home that's separated from this building. Whenever the church comes together of all saved, baptized, and we're all here to worship the Lord, if one's got something wrong, it affects everybody. It's just like at home. She gets out of bed in the morning. She don't feel good. She comes walking in there, you know, and fangs hanging out of her mouth and slobbers going everywhere. And I'm thinking, I'm leaving. You know, and the kids are like, don't leave us behind, Dad. I mean, you know, they all scattered. You know, I got chores to do. It affected the whole family. See, that's all a church is. A church is a family of families. But we're all one family. Listen, if there's anybody in this world that I can depend on, it ought to be the one sitting in here. Because I'll be honest with you. Here I am, there's me and Sandy. The closest blood relative I have is 900 miles. So my immediate family, as far as I'm concerned, is Wagon Wheel Missionary Baptist Church. This is my immediate family. If it all falls apart, I should be able to go to any one of you in here and say, look, my life is in shambles. You need to help. You need to pray for me. Really and truly. Don't expect, by the way, that's what pastors do, is they console, they pray with people. Listen, if you need to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to worry about it. I'm the one that answered the phone. Call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Say, hey, Brother Jim, I need prayer and I need it now. I can't read your mind. I have no idea. Listen, I can show up and say, John, how come you ain't praying for me? You know, which he ought to be praying for the pastor. He's a deacon. He ought to be praying for the pastor for sure. But, you know, I shouldn't just expect it. I need to come to him and say, hey, look, brother, I got this going on. I need some extra prayer. You know, and really that's what we ought to do. But we don't always do that because, well, we're human and we like to separate things out. Listen, God knows all about it. God lays it on my heart what to preach because I don't know what's going on in all of you's lives. You know, I can look at some of you and I can tell that, oh, you should have went to bed earlier last night. I'm picking on somebody back there right now. But you see, listen, I don't know what, when the Lord lays things on my heart, I have no idea what's going on in a person's life. All I know is that what God wants me to preach. You say, well, I had somebody tell me. Well, I don't know, you got a camera at my house and an audio. Yeah, she's sitting right back there. I said, uh-uh. You know what she found out? Philip don't have one either. Because what the Lord laid on his heart to bring, needed to hear. See, it's not just a single person. Because don't forget, what I preach to you comes to me first. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor that way. But you know what? They started growing because they got it together with each other as a family. They come together. They were in one accord. They had it going and they said, yes, Peter, you're right. Now, we're going to find out later on in this book of Acts that they still cling to a little bit. They showed up and well, the Lord brought it to my mind, so let's do it. They started showing up together, but, well, this group of them huddled over here. And then you had this other group that huddled over here. And then a little group huddled up, and there was, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul, which is Saul, actually got on to him about that and said, hey, what are you doing? You know, he actually, it says in the Bible, he actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Reprimanded Peter. Now, I ain't sure I'd have reprimanded him. The last person jumped in his face and cut the ear off. You know, but he did. He said, hey, what's the matter with you? You were just down there and spent time with them. You just went down there and preached the gospel to them. You ate dinner with them. You were associating with them, but now all of a sudden you're not. What's the deal? But they worked all that out. And I don't know why the Lord threw that in, but that's good. Whoa. I like hearing that. Sounds like I'm in Mississippi. But, you know, they got it together and things started happening. Things started coming together and really it was a blessing. People were getting saved. That's always a blessing. Listen, out of all the miracles there has ever been, that's the greatest miracle there ever will be, is when somebody gets saved. Man, it's a miracle when two people can come together as husband and wife, because a husband and husband or wife and wife can't do it, and there's a child born. And out of those two come together, it's little bitty baby, and boy, they're so, you know, they're so cute. And you're like, how in the world did that come from them two? You know, and but you look at them and you say, well, that looks like mom. Oh yeah, but look at that little nose hole there. That's like dad's. You know, and oh, now the ear. You know, everybody does that. But that's a miracle. But the greatest miracle is salvation. All right, let's look at verse 22. Well, now we better go back. Which one did I leave off with? Well, you don't know either, so we'll go with... 21, that's what I was about to say. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. Now, see, that's good. That's why missionaries... Every now and then, the pastors of the churches that sent them out, they'll show up at the mission. Because tidings come to them. They get to hearing these things. These guys in Jerusalem started hearing, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on out there? People getting saved. There's people turning to the Lord. We better go check that out. So they picked somebody that was very special. It says, the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. That's kind of where it all began. And they sent forth old Barney. Brother Barney, hey, we're going to send you to Antioch. You've sold everything you've got anyway, and so you're heading out. And that's what he did. He headed out. He went and checked them out. He gets there and he finds what's going on. It's good. People are getting saved. They're getting baptized. They're adding to the church that's there. And all of a sudden, he exhorts them, hey, you guys are doing good. And then he realizes, I need some help. Now, who am I going to get to help me? That guy they run off? Saul. Well, he goes to Tarsus, finds Saul, brings him back, and for a whole year, they... are serving God. They're teaching discipleship classes. The church is growing. Things is going good. And then they first called them Christians at Antioch. And it was such a good thing. They were so proud to be called Christians. I'm going to tell you something. That word Christian at Antioch was really a derogatory statement. It was picking on them. Well, you Bible thumper. You ever been called that? You know, my own family, I've got some in my own family called me a Jesus freak. It's like, okay. See, Christian, now you knock on the door, how you doing? You know, we're out from Wagon Wheel Baptist Church. We come out here to talk to you about the Lord. Why, I'm a Christian. Listen, there's places in this world you wouldn't dare say that unless you're truly a Christian. Because you'd lose your head for it. You'll die for it. You'll go to prison for it. They were using that in a sense of a persecution. They were called Christians. Why? Because they acted like Jesus. Christ. Christian. They acted like Jesus. You guys are out here doing the same thing that unemployed carpenter that we put on the cross did. Guess what we're supposed to be like? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Now, 27 says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, in other words, a famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. You can look that up in history. You can find it. There was lots of persecution. There was big famine in that time. People were starving to death. And they said, hey, we need to help these guys out in Judea. And they gathered up whatever they possibly could. Some of them might have gave a buck. Some of them might have gave $10. I don't know. It's just whatever they could do. It says according to his ability. And then they said, we're going to send the relief to them. Now, today, we don't have that. Back then, they didn't have the convenience we got. We could go down to the bank, stick it in the machine, tell them wire it to here, whatever, and it's done. I can go online and change part of this money from this account to that account. Boom. I mean, it's as quick as me putting my finger on it. That's amazing. But they didn't have that back then. They had to gather it all together, and then they had to send some people out. They sent Barney and Saul. They said, you guys go back to Jerusalem and give this to them. And that's what they did. They trusted these two guys with all they had. Why? Because they were first called Christians. They were really, you could see that, hey, these two men are serving God. These two men are trustworthy. They're faithful. The Holy Ghost is working in their lives. They could see that. And that's what people need to see in us, is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we really and truly need to make sure that we are in unity, that our family, this church family, is where it should be. And if it's not, we need to figure out why. Just like I started, told you at home, Mom had a bad attitude. I started figuring out what was wrong. I'm like, honey, what'd I do? You know, I'll go get you a rose. You know, and we work the problem out. That's what you have to do in church. You have to do the same thing. You see somebody that's down and out. You see somebody that's got some problems going on in their life. Even if you don't want to approach them, pray for them. See, we don't have to go to each other and say, hey, man, you look down and out. But I mean, you know, you're wearing a Batman shirt. You're Greek. But I don't have a problem with Batman. But, you know, you don't have to go. If you see them down, pray for them. You'll be surprised how God will deal with that without you never saying a word to them. It's like Miss Betty always says in her prayer, pray for the church. Hey, we need prayer. Because we've all got issues in our life. You don't know all the issues going on in mine. I don't know all the issues going on in yours. We need that. But we need to be praying for each other. And we need to make sure that, you know, our lives are what they should be. When all of that comes together, that's when churches really grow. That's when you really start seeing souls saved. That's when you really start seeing people coming in, because people out there want to know what in the world is going on here. They get curious. They're kind of like antelope. You can stand out on the side of the road. If you see a herd, try this. If you see a herd of antelope, go out there and do something stupid. Kick dust around, take a stick, and every one of them will start walking up there and see what's happening. We're just like that. We're out here. You see a bunch of people showing up. What are they doing? They want to know what's going on. And that's what needs to be done. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. Miss Judy, if you'll come up and...